Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of our sermon today is Everything Christ Had, You Have. And we're going to talk about the representative concept today, among other things. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 8 through 10. This tells us what we need to know. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. Let's look at what this is saying. All right, God wants us to avoid the vain philosophy of the world, and which is not after Christ, and you've probably heard it before, Christ is dead and all of that stuff, God is dead, and they have to be able to prove that statement, and they can't, because I see an empty tomb which proves that God is alive, and so they can't prove that any of these things of vain philosophy. But in verse 9, it gets interesting. It says, "For that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So Christ is fully God. He is 100% God, also 100% man, but still 100% God. When he took on our fallen, sinful human flesh, however, he did give up some of the prerogatives of God. He can't be everywhere all at once because he has a human body and things like that. And so, but Jesus still is fully God, having all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that is in him, in his body and in his mind as well. And verse 10 it says, "And we are complete in him." Now the in Christ concept means that he is our representative. And if he represents us, then we are in him. Where he goes and what he does, we do also, because we are in him and because he represents us. And that's what this in Christ idea is all about. And so in verse 10 it says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Christ is the head of everything in the universe. He is the creator of everything in the universe. And it says we are complete in him. So, as long as Jesus is representing you, you are complete. As long as he's representing me, I am complete. We are all complete if Jesus is representing us. However, he has given us all his righteousness and salvation and eternal life in title. It is ours. It has our name on it. And when we believe that word, now Jesus has permission to dwell in us and do his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he can do those good works that he did years ago in fallen flesh. He can do that in you and me if we will get out of the way and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the gift." Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 right now, and we'll look at verses 14 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Ephesians 3:14. It says, "For he, that is Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle of the wall of partition between us." I'm in chapter 2. I'm sorry. It's a good verse, but that's not part of our lesson today. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Make sure we have that right. Yes, okay. Ephesians 3, verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And in, literally, it says, every family. So we could read it that way. "Of whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love," that is, in agape, and then it says, "may you be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the breadth and length and depth and height." So if we are complete in Christ, let's see how this verse works out. Let's look at this one clause at a time. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," or every family in heaven and earth, "is named." So your family has been named by God. Every family. You don't have to be a believing family. God knows who you are, and he has named you. Verse 16, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," and notice we are complete in him, "to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Well, let's pause here for just a minute. Keep your finger in chapter 3, and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33. Talking about the inner man. What is God doing with this inner man? And it tells us here, beginning with verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord." Verse 32. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in the inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So we're talking about the inner man. The inward parts has things in it like the kidneys, which is the seat of the emotions. And it has the mind, the brain, the seat of the intellect, the frontal lobe, which is the seat of decision making. All of that is involved in the inward parts. And so it says, "I will put my law," that is his character, "in their inward parts and write it on their hearts." Now the heart is the seat of the emotion. And I want to ask you, if something's written in your emotions, how difficult is it to do it? If something is written in your mind, how difficult is it to do that? And so if his law is written on your hearts and your inward parts, your hearts and your mind, how difficult is it to do what God will do in your heart? And then it says, and this is what he wants us to do. This is what he expects out of us. And will be their God, that's what he does, and they shall be my people. All God asks us to do is to say thank you. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Trying to find my place. Okay, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that is, our belief in him gives him permission to dwell in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in agape, verse 18, may you be able, fully able, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know, verse 19, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, what did we read in Colossians 2, verse 10? In Christ dwells all the fullness of God bodily. And now we're reading here in verse 19 that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the same thing, isn't it? And so Jesus has given us everything that he has. God has given us everything that he has in his son Jesus. As our representative, he has provided everything that he has. Righteousness, salvation, eternal life. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Here it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. How much? Let me read that again. All things, right? According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him which called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and we just read one of them, that he would write his law in our hearts and minds, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, would you like to partake of the divine nature? How can we do that? It says we can. So let's find out more about this. So we can be partakers of the divine nature. Well, here's a start. Philippians 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's go there. That begins to explain it to us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Being partakers of the divine nature, that means that Christ is doing something. He's divine. We don't have that, but he does. All right, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's verse 5. So what did we read in Jeremiah? That he would write his laws on our heart and our mind, into our emotions and into our intellect. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Fully God, in all the godness, fully dwelling in Christ. So the mind that we need is Christ's mind. And we need to be converted. And conversion is a change of mind. Our minds, it says in Romans chapter 6, were crucified with Christ. That now needs to be replaced by the mind of Jesus. And we read in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So if we have all the fullness of Christ, it doesn't mean that we are divine nature, but we are partaking of the divine nature through having his mind dwell in us and do his work in us, again now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Two of the three parts of the Godhead the Godhead of divinity, we partake of the divine nature. Well, another text, 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So let me read that whole thing together. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So God wants to change us from living a life of lust of men to the life of righteousness in God. And so notice it talks about the flesh and the mind here. Jesus hath suffered for us in the flesh. He took upon him our fallen, sinful human flesh with all of its cravings and all of its desires. And in that flesh, notice what it says about the mind here, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, that is Christ's mind, for he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin. So he took upon him fallen, sinful human flesh, suffered the cravings of that flesh, and with his mind relied completely and entirely upon the power of God to hold him in righteousness. And therefore, he committed sin. Now, can we partake in that? I have passed out, we're going to pass out, sheets that illustrate this. For on this sheet, we have two stick figures. That's the best artistry I can do. Two stick figures. On the left one is Christ, and the right one represents you and me. And I'm going to keep this simple. The sheet I'm passing out is more detailed, but in Christ, pointing to the head, is the sinless mind of God. Jesus had the sinless mind of God before he became a human being. He had that. And before he became a human being, he had the sinless body of God. Whatever that is, I don't know. But he had the mind of God and the body of God. That was before he became a human being. You and me, we have the fallen, sinful human mind in the fallen, sinful human flesh. The fallen, sinful human flesh cannot possibly keep the law of God. It is constantly craving evil. And that craving is going up to the fallen, sinful human mind, which can never say no to the cravings of that flesh. Now, that's what we are, fallen mind and fallen flesh. Jesus, before he became human, was sinless mind and sinless body. I won't even call it flesh. I don't know what it is. But he had that. When he became a human being, and I know it wasn't December 25th, this would have probably happened in September or October. When he became a human being, he gave up his sinless body and took upon himself fallen, sinful human flesh, the same kind of flesh that you and I have. And so now we have a situation where, and Jesus retained his fallen mind, which continued to rely upon the Father. So we have a situation now where we have Christ with fallen flesh and sinless mind, and we still, you and I, have fallen sinful human flesh and fallen sinful human mind. Now what Christ wants to do is to bring us together, and he took the first step in taking upon him our flesh. Now something has to happen in you and me. And holding on here to Peter, let's look at Romans chapter 6 for just a moment and look at what it says. Romans 6, verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man, that is our sinning nature, which is the fallen sinful human mind, that our fallen sinful human mind is crucified with him. Now, Jesus as our representative, when he died, we also died in him as our representative. So our fallen sinful human mind was crucified with him. And he gave that to us in title. But we don't have the experience of it yet. We don't have possession of it yet. So we have title and possession going on here. And then it says that the body of sin, that is the fallen sinful human flesh, might be destroyed, or in the Greek, paralyzed. We still have our fallen sinful human flesh, but it's now being paralyzed under certain conditions. That henceforth we should not serve sin. So going back to our picture here, we have Christ who had sinless mind of God and the sinless body of God, and you and me, which have the fallen sinful human mind and the fallen sinful human flesh. That fallen mind was crucified when Christ died as our representative. So he took upon him fallen sinful human flesh. Our mind is crucified with Christ. Now there's a hole in that. And if Jesus has our fallen sinful human flesh, and we still have fallen sinful human flesh, so that part of us is the same. But Jesus wants to get the rest of us the same, and he has a sinless mind, and we have fallen sinful human mind. And that has been crucified with Christ, and it needs to fill that gap. And we can fill that gap by taking our fallen mind back again and doing our own thing, or we can receive Christ into our mind and allow him to put his sinless mind in us. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, his mind is now in control. And Jesus did not sin, even in fallen sinful human flesh. And so if he's dwelling in you and me, he still cannot sin, even though he's in our fallen sinful human flesh. So as long as Jesus is in control, then he is giving us his righteous life, his eternal life, his salvation. Now, we have to make a decision. Who do we want to represent us before the universe? And we can try to represent ourselves, which means that we'll turn ourselves over to the devil. It happens every time. Or we can elect Jesus to be our representative and have his sinless mind in us, even though we have fallen sinful human flesh. Now look at this picture. Jesus, who still has his sinless mind of God, took upon him fallen sinful human flesh. Now we, who still have fallen sinful human flesh, we match on the flesh side, now have received the mind of God, dwelling in us and doing his work in us, that now is the same as Christ. So both sides have the mind of Christ, and both sides have fallen sinful human flesh. And Jesus can represent us, dwell in us, and do his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we receive the mind of Christ to hold us and keep us from sin. So what else do we have? We have that. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to find out what else we have. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, and we'll go through verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, what did I say? This is Hebrews 4. I did say Ephesians, didn't I? I'm sorry. I'll get this right. Ephesians chapter 4. I like Hebrews 4, but we're not talking about that today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we get all the grace that Christ has to give us. Then in verse 8 it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now that's a triumph. A Roman triumph is what that's talking about, as if it were a Roman triumph. And then it says, and gave gifts unto men. So let me read that again. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that captivity is a real thing. It's not just a metaphor. And when Jesus died on the cross and they had the earthquake, there were a number of people that were thrown out of their graves all around that area. And they sat there through the rest of Friday, all through Sabbath, and they were resurrected with Christ on Sunday. And then when he was ascended, they ascended with him. And so it is very true. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto them. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's look at verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also ascended first into the lower parts of the earth? That would be the grave he's referring to. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he, when he ascended into heaven, that he might fill all things, and gave some apostles, these are the gifts we're talking about, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Did God leave anything out? I don't think so. Everything Christ had, we have. And then we have an inheritance. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We were there. We looked at verses 3 to 5, but this time we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and talk about the inheritance. First Peter, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. First Peter, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. First Peter, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Here it says, verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Oh, this is a familiar theme, isn't it? We have fallen sinful human flesh, and now we can receive the mind of Christ. And in that is everything that he has. All right, let me read that again. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Verse 2. He no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So there is our inheritance. Let's go on. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick, that is the living, and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. Of course, they received this preaching while they were alive. But according to God in the Spirit. But the end or fulfillment of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity, that is agape, among yourselves, for charity, agape again, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good servants of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, partaking of the divine nature, if you will, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So God has given to us an inheritance, and that is what is included in that inheritance, all things. Well, I have with me, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, Volume 1, Number 3. And so let's go there. We have all these things in Christ Jesus, including as part of our inheritance, his righteousness, his salvation, his eternal life, and everything that he has. All right, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, Number 3. This is a passage by A.T. Jones, and he says this: In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he strengthens you with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. True, Christ partook of the divine nature, and so do you, if you are a child of promise and not of the flesh. By the promises you are partakers of the divine nature. There was nothing given to him in this world, and he had nothing in this world that is not freely given to you, or that you may not have. All this in order that you may walk in newness of life, that henceforth you may not serve sin, that you may be the servant of righteousness only, that you may be freed from sin, that sin may not have dominion over you, that you may glorify God on the earth, and that you might be like Jesus. Therefore, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, till we all come in the glory of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4, 7-13. And I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Well, I want to close with Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is the result of God giving us everything that he has. Ezekiel chapter 30. And notice that this is God doing this. We don't come up with these things. He provides that for us. It is his gift to us. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now he's referring both to the heart and to the mind here. Spirit is that part of the mind that communicates with God and is the seat of our character. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and I cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep or cherish my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. All he asks of us is that we say thank you and get out of his way and let him do his will in our hearts. As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.